Welcome to the third class in this course. This class will again be over 2 days, today 18th of May and tomorrow 19th of May. They are the last lectures that you will have in this course, and then we will have the final examination project, the second examination project, starting the Monday 4th of June, for again over 5 days, deliver Friday 8th of June, and there will be another multiple choice examination Friday 8th of June. Concerning the first project, as I said, we are working towards having the grading as soon as possible. The deadline is actually the Friday, not this week, but next week. But we'll try to do it by this week. It depends also on the, it depends very much on the external examiner. Okay, again, the structure for the classes are given in Fronter, and there will be a number of lectures on different topics and a number of activities. Among the activities, I mentioned that I have uploaded the first part of an examination project given last year. You find it here, examination project 2014 part 1. Then you can train a bit for the next examination. Last year I did it so that the students had first a part where they delivered and uploaded some answers. Then I uploaded my answers, and then they built upon that in part 2. So they were able to correct that. So what we are doing today is that you have access to the first part, and I would like you to do that as an exercise today. In fact, I will do that. The third hour today will be mostly be dealing with this exercise, this project, which is kind of an exercise. Then I will release the solution of this first part and upload the second part of the examination project as we had it last year. Okay, so today we will start with computer security incidents response teams. That's the term called CSIRT, Computer Security Incident Response Teams. Concerning security and improvement of security, the ability to analyze, respond properly, and learn from incidents is extremely important. And we will have two different lectures dealing with this. The one are organized teams to deal with that. They may be external to a company. A company may buy such services, manage information security, for instance, at Mnemonic in Oslo or other companies that offer that in Norway. And the other part concerns the company developing reporting systems for incidents. Both are important, and both are still in a very immature state. So if you are looking for problems to solve in information security, these two are extremely important. As usual, there is a document about what I am going to lecture, about improving the performance of CSIRTs, which I am not going to give a lecture about, but which I recommend you to read. It is this one. So please read it for yourself, because it gives you an overview of the lectures and the importance of that. It gives you some history and so on. And also, at the end of the document, there is actually an exercise which I would recommend you to do, even if I put it as a preparation for this lecture. I guess few of you have done it. So you can still do that afterwards, and that will enhance your learning from the lectures. Okay? As usual, I am connected to Skype, so those of you who are following this from outside can connect with Skype to me. And my Skype name, in case you don't have it, is this one. A complicated name, but as you can guess, Gonzalez is a very useful name. There are millions and millions of them around the world, so creating a Skype name based on Gonzalez, that will give me Gonzalez 2025 or whatever, a complex name. And my first name is also quite common, so it doesn't help. So this is actually composed of the first two consonants of my first name, the first two consonants of my second name, the initial of my middle name, and the first two consonants of my last name. So there is a logic in that. So if you want to connect with me in Skype and you don't have that, then please send me an invitation to connect and I will respond. Okay. So now the lecture about improving the CSERTs, which I actually called towards a cybersecurity reporting system, a quality improvement process. Okay. So I will start by dwelling on the strong difference of reporting or providing data in the areas called safety related, so preventing organizational accidents, versus information security. And that has very much to do with the restrictions to get and to use cyber data. And I will argue that this is a big problem. How can we solve that problem? Is outsourcing a possibility? And that takes us down the path of the CSERTs. As to the CSERTs, they are still not performing well enough. There's a very big challenge. So we'll talk about the state of the practice of CSERTs, and then take a step back and remind you of what we learned about the quality improvement paradox and how this lesson should be applied to CSERTs. Of course, you have been working with exercises related to this, but now we get deeper into the issue. So this will add to the understanding that you have developed through exercises and the first project. And then I will discuss the main insights from a PhD thesis that I directed some years ago, where we studied the way a very big CSERT in Germany works and the insights from that. Okay? So let's look at the differences between safety and security. Concerning safety data reporting systems, there are many very good successful examples. You will find them especially in the area of aviation. For instance, the NASA's Aviation Safety Reporting System, abbreviated ASRS. And they are very detailed. They look at events, relate them, organize them in trees, identify the faults and how they are related in fault trees, identify hazards and threats and so on. And they work very well. But if we look, and similarly in petrochemical industry, that's doing very well, and then both examples, aviation and petrochemical industry, have a very high safety. As to aviation, accidents happen so rarely that the probability of you getting millionaire if you play lotto is significantly higher than the probability that your air flight will crash. Even considering cases like recently where we had suicide of a pilot, even considering that the probability of something happens is very, very low. And that wasn't always so. In fact, it was a prerequisite for commercial success, for transporting passengers, that one had a very safe system. And it took decades until civil aviation was safe enough so that people really join in and travel by the millions and contributed to the huge success of aviation as a transport for people. Whereas in information security, we don't have those systems yet. There's a lot of talk about security, incident reporting, and so on and so on. And they do exist in some areas and organizations, but they are still relatively rare and they are not so good. And there's a lot that we can do or we should do to improve that, but that's not an easy task. Maybe that's going to be an opportunity for you in professional life. One of the key reasons why it is so difficult to have good security incident reporting systems is that you need good data. But good data in information security is very difficult to get. And there are three reasons for that. Very often, the cyber data that you need, the one that is relevant for learning from incidents, responding well to them, propagating the lessons and so on, this data doesn't exist, or not to the sufficient extent. And very often, the data you can get, or the data that exists, is not made available. Organizations do not release them. They don't trust researchers. Or actually, maybe they trust them, but they are very afraid that this data could get out and compromise their business success if people understand that they are having so many incidents and problems. And then, very often, when the data is made available, it turns out the data is not so good for research purposes, for insights. The lack of availability of data has many reasons, but one very important reason is that the attackers attack out of the hidden and conceal the attacks very well. So it's very difficult to trace them down and get back to the sources. Then the organizations that are attacked and collect data, they do it for their particular purposes, which are not necessarily the same that we would that is needed for doing research and getting insights. So it may be, for instance, they collect it for being able to proceed legally against the attacker. And then the way they look at the data is very different from the way we will look and collect the data if you want to understand what are the causes, how they are related, how can we prevent that. And then the other thing is, again, that many organizations are afraid of releasing the data. There was one example, you find that in one of the books of Schneier. He reports that an American bank was compromised by hackers from Russia. And they admitted that and published that and told then the clients that this has happened, adding that now the problem was fixed and the attackers wouldn't succeed again. What happened was that they lost a huge number of clients. This bank was not unique. Most banks have had these situations, but most don't tell anything. And the one that was open about the problems and told the clients was punished by the clients. Guess what the bank is going to do next time they suffer a hacker attack? You think they are going to admit that, to tell that? No, they are afraid of losing their customers. So it was a panic and irrational reaction of the customers. They should actually have been thankful and the bank should have got more customers who say, oh, this bank is really good. They are not hiding the problems. They are open about that and they're doing something about that, as opposed to the other banks. But the opposite happened. They left the bank and the bank suffered big losses. So because of all these reasons that attackers conceal their attacks, that the data that is collected for specific purposes that have little to do with assisting researchers to understand the issues and develop systems, insights and so on. And because the organizations that have this data are very afraid of releasing them out of leakages and problems that the clients will leave them, because all of these, we have a lot of restrictions that make progress very difficult. So we have basically this situation here. On the one hand, we have data in organization, and this data is not always good and so on, but still it's kept secret. And then we do need data for scientific research, and there is a barrier, a big, big barrier, making it very difficult for researchers to get that. So this is still a problem, but perhaps the growing trend of outsourcing security to manage security providers may help. And in fact, I think there is some evidence that it is healthy. Why is that? Well, consider different organizations. Let's call them constituents here. That's the term that is used in connection with CSERTs. Constituent could be any companies that they approach an organization providing managed security services, like for instance Mnemonic. That's just one example, but there is another one. I don't remember the name of the company. It is a company that is owned by Telenor that also provides managed information, managed security services. So all this could contact the provider, which we call here by the generic name Outsource Security Limited, and let them manage, say, the an incident reporting system for them or other services. Now, there is a trend for that. Why is there a trend? Well, because information security is a very complicated issue, and it hinges on very many factors. It is costly for an organization to run their own information security services. So more and more organizations find that it's better to leave this to professionals. And if they do that, then we are having a company that is specializing on managing security and getting that from different customers. Once this happens, the company, here called Outsource Security Limited, is getting access to important data from many different clients. So we are then seeing the situation that was sorely missing when I mentioned that it was very difficult to get data. In such a business relation, where the security provider has contracts with their constituents, they are becoming better and better with experience, and that's the first step towards developing better and better systems for managing security. In fact, what happens then is that because there are different organizations that provide managed security and they have common interests, so they find ways of cooperating. They develop some forum or several fora where they meet and exchange experiences. So even if they are competitors, they are shared interests. All of them are interested in better security, even if they want to keep their customers. Still, to some extent, they are interested in some kind of cooperation for the common benefit in a win-win situation. And this will and can and will in blue involve scientists who cooperate with them. In fact, I have participated in such fora. So I was optimistic when I wrote this, and that is some years ago, I think it was in 2007, that we were seeing the beginning of cybersecurity reporting systems. We are still a way, we have still a way to go, but we are making progress. An example that is certainly showing progress are the security, computer security incident response teams. They are examples of outsourced security. Well, actually, wait a moment, not always, because you can have organizations, big organizations like Statoil, they have their own computer security incident response team. So they do not outsource us in the sense that they engage an external company to do that. When you have such big organizations with tens of thousands of employees and so on, and also very dependent on security through the integrated operations, as we will see tomorrow when we look at in security and integrated operations, then they can manage and they have their financial muscles to have their own CISAs. But many other CISAs are providing managed security for customers. There is a forum which I recommend you to visit, which is called the Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams. If you click on that, then you find a lot of information about that, and you see what this forum provides. Let me make this a bit bigger. So this forum, they provide best practice, they provide colloquia for security experts, they deliver classes and teaching, they have publication, web services, special interest groups, and so on. And they are growing. When I started lecturing about that, there were something a little bit about 100 members. Now they have more than 300 members in the world. You will say 300, that's not big. But remember, many of these CISAs, they are serving the security of countries or regions. So many of them, they are public one. As you can see, Apple is in there, and so on and so on. They are Norwegian ones. I suppose here Gnosis is one of them. But as you see, countries, for instance, this is Ecuador, and so on, Canada, Canadian Computer Emergency Response Team. So they are very big organizations. Countries or regions are in there. And as to Norway, I suppose NOCERT is here. Here you see that. So they are members, NOCERT, Norwegian Computer Emergency Response Team. As I said, this forum is extremely beneficial, and I have cooperated with some members of FIRST in connection with their PhD thesis, where we directed and studied the way CISAs perform, using models similar to the one that we had in classes and in your first project, of course much more extensive, as you will see later in some examples. So FIRST developed a lot of things. You saw already in the web page the kind of things they do. Most important, they provide fora where experts meet and learn from each other and share insights. And also scientists can participate in that. And they develop solutions for common problems, common methods and tools. Or if not, they assist in the development of this. Well, but still, CISAs have a big problem. And that is that the number of security incidents occurring is huge, it's enormous, and they are still increasing because they can be automated and so on. And that forces the any institution that has to face security threats to continuously improve, either directly or to connecting to some provider that can deliver those services. If you look at the situation for the last 30 years, then you see in this slide here one axis which is intruder knowledge, which is the the curve going down. That is the amount of knowledge that the intruder knowledge is the curve going up, and that resides on solutions that have been developed and that can be shared. They can be they're found in the web, they can be shared, you can buy them. There are even online markets for that, where there are black markets for this. I had another PhD who studied this. That doesn't mean that you easily can handle in that market. They are very secretive, and they have to know you for a long time before you get access to the interior. So they know that police and others are trying to penetrate them, but they are hidden a lot, and you don't get easy access for that. So the intruder knowledge is increasing over the years with new solutions, and you see all these keywords of what you are seeing here. This slide goes until 2010. I believe there are newer slides that go a few more years until today. We look for that, so continuously update that. And then the point is the attackers, the attack sophistication is getting higher and higher and higher, as you see there. But the knowledge needed to launch these attacks is less and less and less. So perhaps I confused you. The line going like this is the power of the attack tools that you can get if you want to attack. Some of them are at a high price. Whereas the curve going down like this means that it's easier and easier and easier for an intruder to launch attacks, because the knowledge you need to do that is less and less and less, because you get the solutions. They are there. Okay. So let's look now at what CISERTs do. We are now looking back at managed security information services provided by computer security incident response teams. Well, one thing I should have said in the beginning is that even if the today the most popular term is CISERT, computer security incident response teams, there are several other synonyms for this. In fact, the very, very first CISERT called itself CERT, which was Computer Emergency Response Team. And that was launched something like 30 years ago at Carnegie Mellon University in response to the very first virus attack. But then CERT grew to have much more than just response teams. So CERT is today a big institution that is dealing with all kinds of aspects related to computer security, not only response teams. And because of that, the term CERT is less or less used for incident response teams. You find rather terms like CCERT or CIS and so on, which you can see if you look at the website for the forum for CISERTs first, the one I mentioned you. Anyhow, these computer security incident response teams, whether called CISERTs or CERTs or something else, they have a number of services, but typically they will always provide incident analysis. They will analyze what happens if there is some security incidents, and they will come and aid with incident response on the site where it has occurred. They will provide support. They will coordinate if there are several affected, and that very often happens, that there are several institutions that have been affected by the same attack. And they are developing more and more proactive services to prevent the incidents from happening. Now, concerning the CSERTs, there has been, since the first case, since the CERT that was funded in Pittsburgh at Carnegie Mellon University, there has been a strong growth. The growth is not just the 300 members that are in the forum for CSERTs, Forum for Information Response Teams. Remember, those are the largest one. There are many other teams and managed information services that are doing the same thing without being affiliated in the forum, which is, in a sense, costly. Not everybody can afford that, but you still can learn from documentations and so on, or you can approach them. So there has been a strong growth and change over the years, and a large increase in the CSERTs, especially those that are external, that is, that they provide services for other companies. And there is a, in the web, in the home, in Fronta, you have a document with that name, the State of Practice for CSERTs, and the references that you see here, they go to this. So you see page 131 there, you can download the document State of Practice for CSERTs, and there you find that on that page. So there has been a large increase in CSERTs, standards for CSERTs have been established, and in the document which I am referring, it is posted the intention to develop generic CSERT tool. On the other hand, the document is 12 years old, which is a pity that there have been no more recent release of the study. There were actually two studies, one which happened very early after the first CSERT, done by Smith in 1994, and the main conclusion at that time was the CSERTs that existed were underfunded, and so they didn't get enough funding with respect to the huge tasks that needed to be done. They were understaffed, they didn't have enough staff, and they were overweight. And 20 years later, a group led by Georgia Kilcrease, I know Georgia, she is at CERT in Carnegie Mellon, and I know several of the authors of the study, where you see et al. Means and others. I think there were four or five different authors. So in 2003, they published two reports. One of them was the State of Practice for CSERTs. And they concluded that there were more and more incidents, more and more vulnerabilities, that the attacker tools were becoming better and better, that they were more and more automated, that is, you didn't need to make them themselves, you could buy them, use them. So this was causing more and more pressure on CSERTs and the members and the staffs. And they have less and less time to react to this. And even if the study is from 2003, this is still the fact. We are still having new attack tools, more automation, more speed, and even less time to react. So this causes a difficult situation for the staff working in CSERTs. This has led to staff burnout, and still does. And there are still internal problems related to insufficient funding, inadequate management support, and so on and so on. So these are still challenges. They are so difficult that even if we have been making progress over the years, this report from 2003, it still applies to the situation today. So we did a study PhD thesis. And the key issue is this imbalance that you see here. And that is that the resources in the CSATs, whether they are human resources or it comes to funding and so on, do not grow correspondingly as with the workload. You see on the right-hand side the exploding workload caused by more and more incidents occurring per month. So we did a study over 3 years with a particular CSERT, which is called DFN-CERT. DFN are the German initials for Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk, which means the network of research institutions in Germany. So this was the computer emergency response team, or actually computer security incident response team, serving the interests of German research institutions, which means universities, but also other centers concentrating purely on research. Universities, they have teaching and they have research, but Max Planck Institute, for instance, they concentrate on research. So the DFN-CERT is a big CSERT in Germany, having universities and research centers as customers. So the German research network, in German Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk. So here we could take a step back and recall what we learned about the quality improvement paradox. So the next slide, which I am not going to repeat, but they are here to refresh your memory, they go back to the studies done by Repenning and Sturman, but then with a little rephrasing, putting CSERTs in that. But this we have done in exercises, so all this is known to you, and we can continue. And that was the situation explained through several feedback loops, but where we put in the capability, the efficiency of the CSERT as a stock, because that's something that needs time to be built up and stayed for a while, although it will be eroded if it's not properly maintained. In reality, we know there are more stocks in the system, but this is a particularly important one. It has to tell you that the ability, what you have developed over time, as tools, insight, methods, and so on, that's something that is persistent, that stays there. Once you are cleverer, you have developed experience and so on and so on, you can reuse that. What can happen is that you make mistakes or do not maintain it properly, and then it deteriorates. But all in all, that's quite stable, so that's why we can put it in a box of a stock. And we know what happens in such cases. We have a better before worse situation. If we have prioritized coping with incidents, working hard, whereas we have a worse before a better situation if we emphasize the development of new methods and tools, which takes time, comes delayed, and so on. All this you have seen before. So now let's look specifically at the study that I directed. The person who did the study was Johannes Wieck. You find him as author in several articles that I am quoting there. Johannes Wieck. He is now today working with a consulting organization and earning a lot of money, much more than a professor like me, because he became very, very good at developing system dynamic models. So that is very important for consultant organizations. So maybe that leads you also to develop your modeling abilities, and maybe someday you end up like in working for a big consulting organization. So Johannes developed two sets of models for the case of the DFN cert. One model concerns incidents that reoccur very often. So they are, in a sense, low priority incidents because they are well known, but still they are a nuisance and you need to react to them. And the other model he made was related to new threats, to high priority incidents, those that hackers invent, they are new, and that pose new problems and unknowns. They still don't have a solution. That is, the CERT needs to develop a solution, a new solution, every time they occur. So if you look now at this model, which is the model for so-called low priority incidents, again, incidents that are in principle known. They have happened before, so a solution exists. So when something happens, you have to look what happened, and you see, that was that Trojan, or it was that virus, or it was that spoofing, whatever. And then you can fix that. You could, of course, ask why the organization hasn't prevented that. But then remember the model that we had in the first course, the one on security management dynamics, where we look at a life cycle of vulnerabilities. You found that even 2 years after a solution existed, many companies hadn't patched for the vulnerability. So this happens all the time, that organizations do not prevent against hackers or Trojans or whatever, although solutions exist. So if you look at this here, then let's look first after the indicated feedback loops. Then you see a feedback loop here, which you haven't seen before. Expanded budget that describes the reaction of hiring for more force, for more staff, so as to accommodate for the growth in of security incidents. Then you have B2, working harder. There you have that, which you know from our simple model from before. And then you have working smarter, this one, which is developing more capability. But then you have the reinforcing loop, reinvesting, which we had before. But then we have also new things. We have and then you have cutting corners, which we also know from before. Cutting corners or shortcuts is there. But we have another loop that you haven't seen before, and that is a balancing loop, skipping information. This I will explain after the break. We will take now a break until 2:15.